One of my favorite passages in that it's a confusing, fun passage to read. I used to like to read it extremely fast, but I won't do that to you today. But Romans chapter 7. When I was in high school, I think it was either my senior year or maybe it was my freshman year in college, I went to the Mall of Abilene, and I went there a lot. But this particular case, I went because I wanted to get some stereo equipment. And Sears was in the Mall of Abilene. And Sears was great in that they had escalators. There was an up escalator. There was a down escalator. We didn't have very many escalators in Abilene, Texas. So I was intrigued by escalators. I thought that was pretty cool. And so I would usually go up at least once or twice and go down once or twice. In this particular day, I get to Sears to go upstairs, and there's some kids that are playing guns. You know, I'm assuming that dad is the one that brought them shopping, because dads are like me and go, I just kind of want to go play. And so they're playing. And so they're going up the down escalator, going down the up escalator, and they're shooting, and they're, I got you, and they're fighting. And as I got there, I was kind of, you know, playing around with them a little bit. And so I got about halfway up, and one of the kids got in right there behind me, you know, and I mean, like, I'm just getting shot. I mean, kid lobbed a grenade at me and everything, and I was like, oh, man. So it was just fun. And as I'm getting up to the up escalator, I'm thinking to myself, as I'm thinking, doing my shopping, you know, it's a whole lot easier to go up an up escalator than it is to go up a down escalator. You know, because then you got to work a little bit harder. And since it's Labor Day, I thought, well, I'm going to remember this illustration for Labor Day. And so here we are at Labor Day. You know, it makes it a lot harder for us to go up a down escalator, and it's a lot harder to go down an up escalator, right? Because they're just not going in the direction that you want to go. And in my mind, I reminded myself, I wrote it in a little notebook that I still have to this day, and I wrote, preach a sermon on up and down escalators someday. This is that sermon. All right. Because, you know, the world is going in one direction and we're going in an opposite direction. We're going up. Right. That's where we're going. And yet there's times when we kind of set a schedule, or we get our feet in a direction, or we set a path for ourselves that's going in the opposite direction. And so we have to work a little bit harder. We have to try a little bit harder. We have to labor a little bit harder, because if we stop for 2 seconds, if we're on the down escalator, we just keep going down. And if we can get on the up escalator when we're ready to take a breather, or we're ready to just kind of, you know, I need to take a break, I'm still going up. You know, I'm going in the direction I want to go. And that's this passage in Romans chapter 7. It's just amazing to me that we have a passage that Paul writes, and he's confused, it seems, in his own passage. You know, I mean, I know he knows what he's talking about, but anyway, I want us to look at that. Sometimes when we have a strong determination and it fades, I want this lesson to be a reminder to you. When you're really struggling, when your determination's there and yet your soul is struggling a little bit, this is a lesson for you. There's 3 points this morning. Imagine that. Number one, there are 2 people living inside of you. Okay? There are 2 people living inside of you. And I think that as we look at the Bible, it says there's a sinful nature. That sinful nature is also called our earthly nature, also called sinful man. This morning, for the sake of argument, sin man. Right? Just like there's a spiritual nature and there's a spiritual side to us. So we've got sin man and we have spirit man. And if you're a woman, you can just put sin woman and spiritual woman in those exact places. But turn to Romans 7. We're going to start with verse 14. I love this passage. It's just one of those passages that helped me as a teenager, especially in my later years and in my early years in college, to kind of understand why I struggled at times. So here's what Paul, the apostle, writes. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Right? Lots of do's. I one time said this without even thinking about it. I was like, this is the do chapter, right? But you know, it's probably not the best way of explaining it. So verse 20. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So we have this war going on. Now, I love Eugene Peterson's The Message. I know Daryl and I were talking about this passage right here. Verse 21 and 22 in The Message says this: it happens so regularly, it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious not all of me joins in that delight. And so we have this conflict that takes place. We have the Bible uses the word war that's going on. And the Apostle Paul struggled with these two people living inside him. You guys ever like cartoons? Tom and Jerry? Are you Tom and Jerry fans? Any? Yeah. Tom and Jerry, best ever, right? How many times in Tom and Jerry, it's in other cartoons too, but I just remember it so often in Tom and Jerry, you have the little angel pops up, you know, when Jerry is trying to decide, you know, if he wants to, you know, get back at Tom, and Tom's going, oh, you know, I'm gonna kill that stupid mouse. And his little angel, it's always a cute little angel with a soft voice. Oh, no, you don't want to do that. You know, and then the devil pops up. Oh, yes, you do. You know, a deeper and red and pitchfork. And they have this battle, right? And so many times in the old cartoons, you would see these little cartoon figures would pop up. And it was like they're whispering, no, do good. No, do bad. And it's this idea that as a kid growing up, I was thinking, that's kind of how it is in my mind sometimes. You know how I know what to do, what I'm supposed to do, but this little devil pops up sometimes and goes, oh, it's not that big a deal. Makes an excuse, makes an exception, whatever. So, point number one, there's two people living inside of you. Point number two, there are two people fighting for control of you. Fighting for control. How to control your mind. How to control what you do each day. 1 Peter 2:11 and 12 says, we need to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. I mean, so Peter says, hey, there's sinful desires. There's things that are going to happen. There's these, yeah, go ahead, do that kind of stuff that goes on, not only in our mind, but in our heart, but in this world. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, the fruit of the Spirit passage, thereabouts. The sinful desires are against the desires of the Spirit. They are in conflict. Another word for war with one another. And then we just read in Romans 7:23, they're waging war. How's that look? You say, well, how does that look, Mike? Okay, take this. Sunday morning, right? You're laying in bed, and it's time for Bible class. It's time for worship. And you have had a Saturday night, a Saturday to live for, right? It's been a long... Maybe you've worked all day, and you're laying there, and you're like, I think I have a headache. Maybe... No, well, it's a stomachache. No, that's what it is. No one's going to miss me. You know, I mean, is it really necessary to be there this Sunday? I mean, is that really that big of a deal? Is Mike going to tell another stupid joke and I got to listen to that? I mean, do I really want to go? And then wham, you know, your husband or wife or your dad or your mom or your brother or sister or your grandparents go, come on, we're going to worship. Oh, okay. You know, and you say, well, is it as simple as that? I think so sometimes. You know that my motivation is not supposed to be my wife. My motivation as a teenager wasn't supposed to be my mom to wake me up to go to worship. It was supposed to be, hey, I'm motivated, I'm excited, I'm ready to go, kind of a thing, that Jesus should be that motivation. But that's not always the case. So the key point this morning, I think, in my mind, is putting the spirit man in control. To me, that's the key to all of this. That's the key point, because there are two people living inside of you. There are two people fighting for control of you. And then point three, the one I want to spend a little bit more time on, is the man you feed is the man who will lead. It's a simple concept. But how do we put the spirit man in control? Well, the man you feed is the man who will lead. When I was growing up in Florida, Gene Abbott lived next door. The Abbotts lived next door to us. And I don't know if he owned a construction company or if he was just a construction guy, but they always had stuff. We would build, you know, the coolest of forts, and we would make our own, you know, back in that day, we had snowboards, you know, like I know Scotty just did. We would make our own surfing boards for the beach, you know, little round things, and sand them, and I can't think of the name of the boogie board. Thank you. I can't even think of the name of it. And so we would make our own. We would just do all kinds of stuff. But we played King of the Mountain. One of the funnest games ever. A little kid that lived next door, Mikey. His name was actually Mikey. And he was a couple years younger than me. Little bitty guy. And I wasn't the biggest kid. But I had a couple of friends that were guys and a couple that were girls. And we all hung out together. And Gene was 2 years older than us. And he came from a bigger family. And I'm trying to say that they're overweight or anything. They were just big. They're just big bone, big family. And so Gene was the biggest. So we would play King of the Mountain. And Gene would sit at the King of the Mountain, and it was pretty much over. All right? You know? Game over. I mean, we would get together and be like, okay, come here. Here's the game plan. You rush from the back. I'll come from the other side. Get his leg over. Because once you got him kind of going down, he was going down. I mean, like, you know, he'd roll down. And we'd stand there and go, yeah, King of the Mountain. And then we'd fight each other for a little while. And then it wasn't quite this way, but sound effect wise, it was like, and here comes Gene. And when Gene goes, he just kind of plopped down. And there again, we'd have, oh man, it's going to be hard to get Gene back off. You know why? Because Gene ate the most. He was the biggest and he was the strongest. And he dominated that game. And no matter how many times I thought I could be King of the Mountain, I had to have lots of help and lots of people to rush to knock him off. And I look at that, and I think it's interesting that we sometimes ask the question, how do I keep this feeling? How do I keep feeling like God is in control? That I've got all this momentum at certain occasions in my life, but how do I keep that feeling there? Right? We become a child of God. We start walking in the light. We start being led by the Spirit, all of those things. But the man you feed is the man who lead. How? How does that work? Turn to Galatians 5, because the Bible actually lists menus that our spirit man and that our sinful man eat. There's literally a menu. And I know some of us are doing different diets and we're doing different kinds of things. So we watch what we eat. Every once in a while we say, hey, it's a cheat day, man. I'm just going to eat this instead. It's just good and yummy and wonderful. And so we watch our diets all the time. Well, I don't know why we don't think that we shouldn't be doing that spiritually. I think it's a very simple concept, and I'm a pretty simple guy. So look at Galatians chapter 5. He says, so I say, verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. That's exactly what Paul says back in Romans when he says, I do not do the things I want to do. I want to do this, but I can't seem to do it. Then the things that I hate to do, I end up doing it. And just this conflict. And he says, so you're not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh, obvious. Here's some things that are going to feed this sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies. And then I love these last couple words. And the like. I don't think Scotty ever asked me this as a youth minister. I don't know. I have to think if Kurt ever said this. But every once in a while, somebody will say to me as a youth minister, well, the Bible doesn't say that specifically. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it does. Right here. And the like. See, I mean, he kind of covers his bases right there, doesn't he? You know what I'm saying? We don't. You're like, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that specifically. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. But it does talk about all this other stuff. I said, let me ask you a question. I remember when kids would ask me that question. And I'd say, is that going to feed your spirit or is that going to feed your flesh? You make a decision. Is that good for your spiritual life or is that good for your fleshly life? Because that's the like. All of these things are listed, and he's trying to say them. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's going down the wrong path. That's going down the down escalator. That's going the wrong direction, right? And then every once in a while, you see this. Verse 22, you see these fruits, right? These fruits of the Spirit. I love because fruit is kind of the reaction of planting seed. So you've done your job, and then you see this fruit. But fruit's also something you eat. It's good. I mean, we ate some good fruit up here this morning, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is different from the fruit of this life. But I love the analogy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And NIV says forbearance. Doesn't go with the song very well, but that's okay. Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with what the flesh desires, with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. I almost want to say, hey, since we live by the Spirit, get on the up escalator. Go where the Spirit's going. Go where the Spirit is directing you to go. You know, get your feet pointed in the right direction. The sin man and the sinful nature and the spirit man and the spiritual nature have totally different diets. What does that look like? Well, watching TV, certain movies. I think we can all agree that, you know, we get inundated with media. There's nothing wrong with watching movies. There's nothing wrong with watching TV. We just need to be really careful. Is that what you're learning? You know, I mean, I wrote down MTV, VH1, Wild on E, you know. Not so sure those are the best channels for the Christian person who's trying to build themselves up, help their spirit to be in control. We pick wrong friends. Sometimes we compromise our beliefs. We miss church services. We miss Bible classes. The world and its time is replacing our time with God. I mean, I think that you know, all of a sudden we're feeding worldly desires instead of feeding, spiritual desires. Selfishness. That selfishness. So kind of what Cameron was saying through that, you know, there's room, there's some extra room in there. What are we filling it in with? You know, God made, I think, a hole in our hearts just for Him to fit into well. And sometimes we think, well, if we do enough stuff, we can just shove everything else in there. It's kind of like when you work on certain projects and you don't have the right tools and you think, well, I'll just make it work, right? Doesn't always work out the best way. You just have to go back and fix it again. Right. And so God is saying, hey, I'd love for you to understand that there are certain things that are going to build you up. Here's how it looks to me for teenagers. I think teenagers relate to this. Right. We go to camp. Camp's one of the greatest weeks ever. You know, the kids go to camp and they're so fired. Or maybe it's a youth weekend or maybe it's a retreat or something like that. And all of a sudden, you know, you're just on fire. You're so excited because you're just getting fed all of this spiritual food. You're just getting loaded up with all of the spiritual desserts and main meats. And we're praying more than we've ever prayed. And we've read more. And we're the world's kind of out there. And we're in here. And we're just like, you know, and we get fired up. And I hear kids say, I want to change. Man, when I get home, things are going to be different. And we get all this fired up. And sometimes the kids are on the wrong path. And I liken it to being on the down escalator. And they turn and they go, yes, I want to go up. And they have all this energy. And so they just hustle right up, right to the top. Piece of cake. Because of all this energy. Adults, kind of the same thing. You go and you be a camp counselor, right? And you get this week of camp or this Tulsa workshop or we go to evangelism seminars or we go to, you know, we watch, go to a concert, Christian concert, and we hear some encouraging thoughts. And or maybe it's a series, you know, on Sunday morning or maybe it's, you know, you're reading your Bible at home or you watch videos. I mean, whatever. You fill in the blank. But you get this charge. You get built up. You're getting fed. Your spirit's being fed. And your spirit seems to be in control. And you can make great decisions. And something comes up that you would normally go, I gotta worry about that one. In this case, you go, piece of cake. You know, get away, Satan. You know, and you just feel so good. And that's what happens with teens. And then every once in a while, they'll come to me 2 weeks after camp and go, man, Mike, what do I do? I'm like, what do you mean, what do I do? Man, I went right back. I said, I know. You know what happened? You went right back to your everyday routine, to your everyday friends, to your everyday place at work, to your everyday everything, and you just forgot that you're supposed to keep feeding this spiritual nature, to keep feeding your spiritual side so that it's strong and it's powerful. And so we've got to remember to keep doing that. I think it's interesting that, you know, Satan sometimes flicks us right off when we're feeling really strong, when we just relax. And so somebody goes, wait a minute, are you telling me that you think Satan is stronger than God? No. If you heard me say anything like that, not at all. But Satan's stronger than us. And that's why God sent a son, a savior, to come and strengthen us and give us all of this power and this ability. And he said, hey, the greatest thing that's going to ever happen is if I leave my spirit with you. Your spirit's going to help your spirit grow and become stronger. Ask the Israelites how well they did in battles against forces of Satan without God on their side. I mean, ask some of those prophets, ask some of those men and women of God who chose to go it on their own against Satan and his forces and see how well they liked it. Because what God is saying to us is, hey, take advantage of the power that I give you through my spirit. We've been talking about this on Wednesday nights, but don't grieve the spirit. Feed the spirit. Right? Continue to pour in those kinds of things. Like what? Bible study, prayer, meditation, sharing your faith with your friends, choosing movies, TV shows, books wisely. You know, pick some things that are going to feed your spirit. Listen to God-building music, not junk. And enjoy Thanksgiving and Christmas pig-out days. You guys like Thanksgiving and Christmas? Yes. Food, right? Enjoy some spiritual ones like that. You know, go to a retreat or go to a Christian concert. Go to some place where you're just going to get all this extra stuff. I mean, we can't live that high up on the mountain all the time. But we can certainly strengthen our spirit so that our daily walk is easier. It's difficult to go down when you're on the right escalator, right? It's difficult. If you're on the up escalator, when life, you've got your path, everything's going good, and you have one of those days where you're like, man, I am wore out, I'm so tired, you know, and you just stop, you still go up, you know? You can even take a few steps backwards if you go kind of slower and you don't even go anywhere. I used to do this in high school and college all the time. I'd go get on that escalator and I'd like try and balance and just then try and do it on one, you know, and people would be looking at me like, yeah, I'm just here to ride the escalators. But I would try and get my pace perfect, you know, by going up the down and see if I could just stand there and look at, you know, like look across somewhere. And then sometimes I'd be like, you know, and people would be like, what is this guy doing? It's like, hey, I'm just playing, just having a good time. That's me. All right. So if I asked you to make a list of foods, right, if I asked you to make a list of foods or a menu, right, that you feed on, that your spiritual nature feeds on, what would be the result? Who are you feeding the most? And if you wonder at times when you have a hard time in a decision-making process and you think, man, I just want to make a better choice, you know, I think it has a lot to do with this mentality of the voice that you're listening to the most. I think that's really crucial. So number one, there are two people living inside of you. Number two, there are two people fighting for control of you. And point number three, the man you feed is the man who lead. Now, I didn't finish my story. The rest of the story is great. These little kids, you know, they're fighting and they're shooting and whatever. And the kid was behind me. And so I just stepped out of the way and I was like, well, I'll get him, you know. And this kid just, it's like, he just goes, you know, and just goes, and just, you know. And this other kid's like, he's got nowhere to go. So he looks at me, he's like, man, you know, and he's just getting annihilated. And the kid says this, he goes, I got you, you're dead. Classic. And it's not what you're thinking. Oh, you missed me. There's no way. 21,415 shots were fired. The kid got killed. Right? He got hit. But he says this. He goes, I'm wearing my dad's bulletproof vest. You can't hurt me. And I thought, oh, that's perfect. Turn to Ephesians 6. It's perfect. It's my conclusion. Ephesians 6. 10 and 11 and 12 and 13. And it goes on from there. But Paul says this, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle," he says, "is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Verse 13, there's a therefore. Right? You've heard me say it before. What's the therefore, therefore? Therefore, it's therefore to remind us that you need to put on the full armor of God, because our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. And I love it because he says, take the shield of faith with which you can quench the evil darts, the flaming darts, sorry, of the evil one. And it's almost like when Satan starts bombarding your life, you can say, and he goes, "Got you." And you go, "I'm wearing my dad's armor. You can't touch me." You know, you can't shoot me. You can't hurt me. I got the helmet of salvation. I got the sword of the Spirit. I got the shield of faith. And so when those times come at us, we can block them and we can get rid of them. And we can simply say, "I'm wearing my father's armor. Can't touch me." Right? I almost wanted to do "Can't Touch This." Dum, 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 right? No, we will not go there. That is not good. So, in conclusion, we need to understand there's a war going on. There's a war going on. Scripture talks about going in the right direction. Starts talking about taking the right path. It says to enter by the narrow gate. We just talked about. All right? That we choose these great paths and we get on the up escalator and we head in the right direction. All of those things are important, and we continue to feed our spirit. And I think it makes a world of difference in our Christian walk when we are strengthening our spirit in a daily way. So.